Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives, so please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Well, not quite. And Jenna Ellis is taking a well-deserved break, and Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna this morning on this Wednesday, the 30th day of April. And what is significant about this day, we are starting the second 100 days of Donald Trump's time in office, second time around in office. And I'll tell you what, if the next 100 days, anything like the first 100 days, I tell you what, of course, I work in the newsroom here and we cover these things, and I'm not exaggerating here. It does get exhausting sometimes because he doesn't give us a break. We have to stay late on Friday afternoon here because he keeps coming up with these executive orders that have a major impact on the country. So, we're kept very busy. So like I say, we're entering into the second 100 days of his second term, but we're going to have a look at his first 100 days. And he celebrated those first 100 days yesterday. He went up to Michigan. Very interesting. He chose to go to Michigan, one of those states that he picked up. You know, of course, it's run by, for the most part, by the Democrats. The governor there, Gretchen Whitmer, was there. We're going to talk about how they greeted each other when Air Force One sat down there in Michigan yesterday. But he gave a speech last night. Somebody was telling me, our producer here, Devin, was telling me that he heard that speech went about 2 hours. No, I didn't watch it because I had to get up early this morning. But anyway, he had predictable things in that speech. Here's a little bit of it, cut number 8.
Nowhere has this transformation been more dramatic than our southern border. You have seen a change on your southern border that Sleepy Joe said couldn't happen. The last administration engineered a massive border invasion, allowing gangs, cartels, and terrorists to infiltrate our communities.
All right. So the predictable in his speeches, but what's making headlines this morning is that when President Trump embarked from Air Force One there in Michigan yesterday, of course, the Democrat governor, Gretchen Whitmer, was waiting there for him. And you can go to our website, afn.net, and you will see a picture, because the picture is they hugged. They hugged. Republican President Donald Trump, one of the most controversial presidents, one of the most disliked presidents by Democrats. Gretchen Whitmer, who has been a frequent, almost always critic of Donald Trump, they hugged. So I'm sure Democrat heads are just spinning about that this morning, because they have ramped up the rhetoric like you would not believe. While all of this was going on, the Democrats yesterday, particularly there was I think they went for 12 hours in the Senate. These are Democrat senators spent hours giving their dissertations about where they think the country is going unless Donald Trump is stopped. So what you're going to hear here is a little bit of Chuck Schumer, a little bit of Senator Coons, and Senator Elizabeth Warren. So have a listen as to what their report card had to say about Donald Trump. Cut number 1.
This week marks the 100th day of Donald Trump's second term as President of the United States. Chaos, corruption, costs. It's chaos, one fiasco after another.
In 100 days, what can a president accomplish? In the last 100 days, President Trump has made Americans less safe, less prosperous, and less free.
Today, I am reading into the congressional record 100 reports of corruption from Donald Trump's first 100 days in office. Trump and his administration have paved the way for the president, his top officials, and his billionaire buddies to personally feed at the trough of government corruption.
All right, so that's what you're going to get, folks, the next 100 days and thereafter. You're going to hear this. You know, Chris Coons, what he said, made the country less safe. And the immediate reaction that I had to that, wait a minute, you said nothing about your president, Joe Biden, and what he did on our southern border that we are going to pay for in this country and that Donald Trump is trying to do something about. Estimates are roughly 15 million that Joe Biden allowed to flow into this country. Terrorists, rapists, murderers. And Chris Coons has made this country less safe in the last 100 days. Have you seen the numbers comparing what under Joe Biden, 100, 200,000 people crossing that border in a matter of days sometimes, compared to just a few hundred recently under Donald Trump? So when he says has made this country less safe, the American people are not going to buy that. And I'll tell you, somebody else certainly who is not going to buy that is Republican Senator John Kennedy, one of my favorite senators from Louisiana. Here's his assessment. Cut two.
The Democratic Party today is not defined by its principles. It's defined by one thing. It's hatred of President Trump, even when he's right. For example, in the first 100 days, President Trump secured the border. The Democrats were opposed. In his first 100 days, President Trump started deregulating the economy. The Democrats were opposed and are opposed. The president, in his first 100 days, has backed Israel. He stood up to China. He stood up to Iran. The Democrats are opposed.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And they're not going to win on that issue, folks. They're simply not. The American people, the polls are showing this, the American people are behind what Donald Trump is doing on our southern border and on our northern border as well. Now, of course, the mainstream media, no friend of Donald Trump. And I'm amazed sometimes of what Donald Trump's handlers allow him to do as far as giving interviews. And as part of the 100-day celebration, the White House agreed to put President Trump out there. Terry Moran of ABC News, again, no friend of this White House and certainly no friend of Donald Trump. I don't have to make that argument at all. You've seen it for yourself. Well, President Trump gave a lengthy interview to ABC News. And, of course, they had a number of questions, including the controversy the media and the Democrats have created over these illegal aliens not being given due process. In other words, 15 million have to be given their day in court in order to be deported from this country. This is what we're talking about here. So here's Trump in this interview with Terry Moran. Cut number nine.
We follow the legal process. I can't have a trial, a major trial for every person that came in illegally.
Even bad guys get due process, right?
If people come into our country illegally, there's a different standard. These are illegal. They came in illegally.
But they get due process.
Well, they get a process where we have to get them out. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Venezuelans.
They get whatever my lawyers say.
Yeah, and good points there by the president. Due process. No, they've broken into this country. You know, others have made this comparison. Imagine somebody breaking into your house. And all of a sudden, the courts are saying, you cannot remove that person from your house unless he has his day in court first. Now, this is how silly the courts have become. And, of course, the courts, what has happened is the Democrats, the ACLU, and other lawyers, simply they go judge shopping. They find an Obama judge or a Joe Biden judge who they know will, because they're activist judges, they know they will rule in favor of these left-wing Democrats, ACLU lawyers, whatever the case may be. So that's what they're talking about there. Of course, the ABC folks, Terry Moran, also had some other questions to ask. And one of them being with regards to, of course, the tariffs. That and this is so far, according to the polls, has not been a winning issue. But Donald Trump keeps saying, just take time. Breathe a little out there and let this take its course. But Terry Moran, in this interview last night, was asking Trump about, in particular, about China, cut number 11.
145% tariffs on China, and that is basically
That's
an
good.
Embargo.
They deserve it.
It'll raise prices on
they
everything from
it.
Electronics to clothing to building houses.
You don't know whether or not China's going to eat it.
That's mathematics.
But at 145, they basically can't do much business with the United States. Everything's going to be just fine.
So your answer to the concern about the tariffs is everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Everything's going to be just fine. Could leave it, have a nice, easy time, but I think ultimately you would have had an implosion. Our country had inflation that was worse than they've ever had it before. You don't mention that.
Yeah, so the predictable questions coming from ABC. And, of course, one of the other questions that came from Terry Moran at ABC News was about Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary. He has been under fire over with regards to these signal chats and that sort of thing. And, of course, Trump was asked about that. Cut number three.
You have 100% confidence in
Pete Hegseth. I don't have 100% confidence in anything, okay? Anything. Do I have 100%? It's a stupid question. Look.
It's a pretty important position.
No. You don't have 100%. Only a liar would say I have 100% confidence. I don't have 100% confidence that we're going to finish this interview.
Now, I did find that response a little bit interesting. Hegseth has certainly been under fire. And questions about, you know, leaking information, some of the advisors that Hegseth brought in when he was given that post, he himself has let go because allegedly they are behind some of the leaks coming out of the Pentagon. So I did find that response from the president. The reports are out there this morning that the president has had what is termed a long talk with Pete Hegseth. And understandably, when you're hearing these things and when Hegseth is not denying that these things have happened, he has tried to explain how those signal chat information, and this had to do with the attacks plans against the Houthi rebels in Yemen. So we'll see how that goes. But also, he was, you know, this is all part of, I think, what you're going to see from the left-wing media. I mean, it's just going forward. And for the most part, the media has not talked about the success on the borders, and we shouldn't be surprised by that. But they are going to focus in on the tariffs. The other thing that you're hearing from the Democrats and from the mainstream media that simply isn't true, that basically the economy is falling apart, that is not true. I don't know what it's like where you live, folks, but in the town that we live in, I've noticed a significant decrease in the price of gas and oil. And eventually that will have an impact on your grocery prices, all of that sort of thing. So that is certainly coming along. So we'll have to wait and see. Expect that this president will continue to be attacked by the Democrats. But, you know, the Democrats, and perhaps we'll be talking with Gary Bauer in just a few moments, our good friend in Washington with Campaign for Working Families. The Democrats have their own problems, which the mainstream media doesn't talk enough about, and that is the deep divide between the far left and the far, 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 far left, all right? The AOCs. And I tell you what, Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. He's supposedly an independent. But I'm beginning to worry about him. I've seen some speeches from him lately, and his head is about to come off the top. He's out there. What a strange marriage. AOC and Bernie Sanders. There must be a 60-year spread between the two. But they're both deep, deep socialists. And of course, you've got some of these Democrats out there that say they're going to raise funds to primary out the Schumers of this world and the Elizabeth Warrens of this world. So the Democrats have their own problem. We'll cover that. Mainstream media won't, but we'll cover it. All right, you're listening to this Wednesday edition of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna. We're back right after the break.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Jenna Ellis, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And indeed, welcome back on this Wednesday edition of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna. We've been talking about the reaction from the left to President Trump's first 100 days in office. And they are going to continue to rant against the president. But he is facing some challenges on the tariff issues. And yesterday, one of the reasons he went to Michigan was to talk about tariffs. He announced yesterday, even before he got to Michigan, that he was modifying the tariffs on auto parts, which, of course, very popular there in Michigan because of the auto plants that are there. But modifying that a bit so that reducing the tariffs on parts coming in from other countries. So very popular there. By the way, the other thing that the president announced, he went to a National Guard air base there in Michigan, and announced that he is going to be giving them some brand new fighter jets. They are right now flying the older Warthogs there, but he's giving them some brand new F-15s. So that was also welcomed and is a good thing for the National Guard there. All right, we're heading up to Washington now to talk to our good friend, Gary Bauer. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey, good to be with you as always, Fred.
All right. Well, listen, you keep your eye on things there. It's been an interesting 100 days. We want to talk about it. But first, I want to get your reaction to the hug that is making news this morning. I'm not sure if you saw this, but when President Trump embarked from Air Force One yesterday in Michigan, he gave a hug to Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Surprised by that? Is it kiss and make up time between that Democrat and the president?
I think it might be secretly the kiss of death. I mean, I think that the president knows that a Democrat looking like they're fond of him can actually really hurt them with their crazy left-wing base. So I think there's a lot of little maneuvering going on here. She may think that the friendly relations between the two of them publicly might help her get some of those blue-collar workers back. But I think it's just as likely to make every pro-abortion, pro-trans, crazy left-wing radical like, okay, that's it for her.
Well, it was kind of funny. There's one explanation this morning. I think she was asked about this afterwards, and she said, well, he kind of came off Air Force One, and he kind of leaned in and said something. So I guess she felt obligated at least to kind of be kind of friendly, but I don't think they're real close friends. Any danger of that? Hey, listen, I wanted to play you a little montage of Democrat senators yesterday and the way that they handled the first 100 days. This is Chuck Schumer, Chris Coons, and Elizabeth Warren. In the Senate, I think they stood for, what, about 12 hours or so, ranting against the president. Here's a little bit what they had to say. Cut one.
This week marks the 100th day of Donald Trump's second term as president of the United States. Chaos, corruption, costs. It's chaos, one fiasco after another.
In 100 days, what can a president accomplish? In the last 100 days, President Trump has made Americans less safe, less prosperous, and less free.
Today, I am reading into the congressional record 100 reports of corruption from Donald Trump's first 100 days in office. Trump and his administration have paved the way for the president, his top officials, and his billionaire buddies to personally feed at the trough of government corruption.
And on it goes, Gary.
I just think I lost my breakfast, Fred.
Sorry about that. Your response. Your response to that.
Well, look, you know, we call stuff like this fake news and all the rest. It's actually propaganda. And they say it, and then the media that constantly fact-checks conservatives and Christians and so forth, they do no fact-checking on this at all. More corruption. All we've done so far is root out corruption. I mean, in those first weeks, we found the evidence all over Washington D.C. that whoever was running the White House during the Biden administration had ordered the agencies to throw hundreds of billions of dollars out the window as quickly as they could. They were giving money to anybody that had a heartbeat. Because they didn't want there to be one penny in the federal treasury that Donald Trump might be able to use for some of the priorities that he ran on. Americans are less prosperous. What are they talking about? He's already created over 400,000 jobs in less than 100 days, including 18,000 manufacturing jobs. Joe Biden, in his last 2 years in office, did not have 1 month where there was a net plus increase in manufacturing jobs. So literally everything they're saying is the exact opposite of the truth.
What do you think is going to happen with the tariff issue? That is one that even some conservative commentators, Gary, are saying this is going to create a problem unless he can make the deals. And particular, the focus seems to be on China. Now, I understand they're going to announce as early as today one deal being completed. A lot of people are saying maybe it's India, perhaps South Korea, whatever the case may be. But where do you think the tariff issue is going to go? Is he going to succeed on this?
Well, you know, the jury's out, obviously, but this absolutely needed to be done. And Fred, you know, you zeroed in on China, which is what I think this is really about. Look at what's happened already after this battle began between the president and Communist China over these tariffs. China has threatened to cut off the rare earth minerals we need to keep our military running. Well, what does that tell you? It tells you that Donald Trump understands the threat Communist China provides the United States with this trade relationship we have with them. A whole lot of people have gotten super wealthy by selling some things in China, but by selling a lot of junk in America that, yes, is a little bit cheaper, but it makes us dependent on Communist China. And I'm just hoping, Fred, I have no way of knowing, but I'm just hoping that the average American will say, man, we have got to get out of this entanglement with Communist China, or we are going to lose a major war in a way that literally will cost us our freedom. Because, Fred, there is absolutely no doubt about this. I would say it on a stack of Bibles. Communist China is planning to win a major war with us. Do we want to be just letting them flood our country with all kinds of products just because it might be a little bit cheaper than it was before? So this is one of these times where Americans have to take a deep breath and think about our country, think about our future, think about your children and grandchildren. I've been warning for 25 years against trade with communist China. And exactly what I warned against is what is happening right now. And by the way, Donald Trump, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, in a blue room before we were speaking at a conference, he wasn't nominated yet. People didn't even think he'd get the nomination. He made a beeline over to where I was standing, and he said, you know, Gary, you were talking about this when you ran, and now I'm going to run with it. So this is important that we do. There might be some dislocations, but it has to be done.
Do you think one of the tactics that has to be employed here, Gary, is that we have to educate the American consumer? And I was reading an article back a few weeks ago about this, that the American consumer has to be made aware that you may buy Article A, one made in America that costs $10. You can get the same article made in China for $7, but the American consumer has to realize that three or four of those dollars, when China gets that, it goes into their Communist Party. It helps build their military. I don't think the American consumer, they look at the price in front of them, but they don't realize where that money is going.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. And you know, patriotism has waned in the country in addition to everything else, although it's now going back up. But a lot of working class Americans, you know, saw their jobs disappear into communist China. So that's a whole other part of this that we really haven't been talking about. When we allowed China to go into the world trade regime and be treated just like other nations around the world, 90,000 American factories closed. I mean, I can't even get my arms around that. There were communities like the one I grew up in, Newport, Kentucky. The steel mill closed, the brewery closed, all the working class blue-collar jobs disappeared. That happened all over the country. And those factories that we lost opened up in communist China with slave labor that American workers could never provide for a family with. And that's the stuff we're buying. We're buying the stuff we used to make. So it's been a vicious circle. You know, more and more American families can't afford a lot of things. Well, one of the reasons they can't afford a lot of things is we lost all the well-paying blue-collar jobs that this country used to be famous for.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things a lot of people don't understand is that China has been buying allegiance from various countries, even, you know, some countries in the Caribbean. I heard the other day where they now have what's called a footprint in the Bahamas. So they've been using their economic plan is to build plants, make other countries dependent upon them. That should be of great concern to Americans as well.
It should be, and again, President Trump is one of the few people that, you know, fully understands this and is trying to counter it. You know, I think you and I talked some months ago about what's this thing where he's going to take back the Panama Canal? Why would he do that? I've seen people are complaining. Well, we've since found out that a government-controlled Chinese communist company had bought land and port facilities at both ends of the canal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where our Navy goes through in the event of an emergency. A lot of American trade, internal trade, will go from the East Coast to the West Coast or the West Coast to the East Coast through that canal. Trump understood that, and he's trying to make sure that that's not going to happen. By the way, our Secretary of Defense went down there to visit and talk to the Panamanian government, and he was shocked to see signs in various places in the Panama Canal Zone written in Chinese.
Yeah.
There are so many Chinese on the ground there that they put up signs not only in Spanish but also in Chinese. So while America has been sleeping under sleepy President Biden, our enemies, mostly communist China, is encircling the United States.
Yeah.
And we need to wake up and understand the dangerous position that we're in.
A couple of other questions for you, Gary, on Trump's foreign policies. He promised to very quickly bring an end to the war between Ukraine and Russia. Some would say certainly that has not materialized yet. Where do you think we're going with that?
Well, I think what we're seeing is it's a lot easier to prevent a war than it is to end a war. You know, when President Trump was in office during the first term, Putin didn't invade anywhere. He knew that Trump had laid down the law. Don't even think about it. Trump leaves and Biden comes in. Biden, remember, famously said, don't cross this line. And then he had a hard time describing what the line was. Putin looked at that and promptly invaded Ukraine. So now this terrible war is raging. The death toll on both sides is incredible. Russia has nuclear weapons. Every day this goes on, we're risking an accident or a mistake there. I think the president has done more to bring peace than any modern American president, but he's not getting, sometimes he's not getting the cooperation of Putin, other times he's not getting the cooperation of Zelensky. I can tell you this, that if they can't reach a deal, then the president's going to tell Europe, look, this is on your continent, and we can't be the world's policeman anymore. We're facing a threat in the Pacific from communist China. Germany, France, England, Belgium, Norway, Denmark, all the other European countries, Spain, Portugal, this is your responsibility to handle. If you want it to continue, then you can arm Ukraine, but I've got to take care of the people of the United States right now.
Gary, no president has backed the nation of Israel more than President Trump, but we still have a problem in Gaza. How do you resolve that?
You know, that idea that Trump came up with about we just need to evacuate Gaza and bring in a new population and, you know, make that place an oasis in the Middle East. Oh, again, another series of heads exploding. Now more and more people are saying, you know, the more we find out about what's happened in Gaza, it's not only the physical destruction of the Gaza Strip, it's the destruction of the minds, M-I-N-D-S, of little children who to this day keep getting indoctrinated with the greatest thing you can do in your life is kill a Jew. So I don't know what the answer is, but I know what's been done for the last 25, 30 years isn't going to work. There's a war. The two sides go back to their respective positions. People like the United States, countries like the United States, rebuild Gaza.
Gary, I have to interrupt you. Sure. Can you stay on with us? We have to take a break here.
Sure, absolutely.
Right. Got much more to talk to you about. All right, we're back in a few minutes. Jen Ellis in the morning, Fred sitting in. Don't go away.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back on this Wednesday edition of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Jenna. On the line we have with us Gary Bauer, President of American Values. Gary, always a pleasure to have you with us. You know, we're just before the break, we were talking about Israel and its security. Donald Trump is there. He did great things in his first term in office for Israel. And it's one of those things that we look at Gaza, it looks like impossible to resolve. But Gary, we have to depend on the Lord and keep praying for some resolve there.
Yes, no question about it. I mean, it's a tinderbox, and everybody needs to be working toward a solution. I thought it was really ironic, Fred, that remember there was a point where Israel was inside Gaza. I'm talking about years ago, and sort of administered security in Gaza, and the United States, I think it was under Carter. Might even have been under Bush, along with a lot of other countries, pressured them to leave. And, of course, Hamas wanted them out of Gaza. So the Israelis left. There were no Israelis, no Israeli troops of any kind in Gaza before the horrific attack that took place in October of 2023. So what happened during that attack? The Hamas warriors or terrorists came into Israel, and they dragged Israelis back into Gaza.
Yeah.
As hostages. So first they want all the Israeli Jews out, then they attack Israel and drag Israeli Jews back in and hold them for ransom. So it just shows you the mindset that we're dealing with. But yes, we need to keep working at it. Trump's going to continue to do everything he can to destroy Hamas and partner with Israel on that. The sad thing is the lives that are being ruined by the propaganda and indoctrination that goes on in the schools throughout Gaza. And until that cycle of hate is stopped, there won't be any peace. And by the way, it's a reminder, we've got to stop the cycle of hate that's happening right here in the United States on our university campuses, where we're beginning to see in recent years the same kind of raw anti-Semitism, hatred of Jews that we see in many places around the world.
Well, Lord's leading on your remark there, because my next question has to do with a report that Harvard University released yesterday afternoon, basically saying, yeah, we have a problem with anti-Semitism. We're going to try to do something about it. You know, we're going to sit around a table and discuss this. And that's about as far as it's going to go. Also, the same kind of anti-Semitism that we've seen at Harvard, we've also been seeing certainly at Columbia University. I wanted to play you a clip of Jeffrey Lacks, who is a law professor at Columbia University. He is appalled at the lack of action of local prosecutors there in New York when it comes to Columbia University of taking any action. And there's been violence on that campus against Jewish students and breaking into buildings, but they're not doing anything, the prosecutors in there in New York. Here's Jeffrey Lacks talking about that. Cut five.
Disgusting. I mean, these are assailants. They actually attacked two campus safety officers. And I will tell you an exclusive that I have, thanks to the power of Fox and Friends and you. I got a call after a show I did with you from a very high-level official at CUNY, can't say who it is, who had discussions with the safety officers, who said that they went to the chancellor of CUNY and to the chair of the Board of Trustees and said, we want to stop what you just saw on TV a year ago. We want to arrest these people. We don't want it to happen. And CUNY said, no, we want to allow it to happen. Fast forward, one of the top officers, campus officers, got injured so badly that he's still out on leave today.
Gary, how has anti-Semitism been allowed to fester and grow? It has been permitted on these campuses. It's been going on for years, Gary. Years.
It has, and you used the right word. It's not that it was a secret. These universities have hired professors that even the most cursory conversation with would have told them that they are anti-Semites. They have brought in more and more foreign students from countries that studies show are the most anti-Semitic countries in the world. So wouldn't you think if you're Harvard or Yale or Columbia and you're bringing in people from Qatar and Saudi Arabia and other places like that where there's no synagogues, a synagogue would be burnt to the ground immediately. Wouldn't you think you'd make a little bit of an effort to find out if you're bringing in somebody that hates Jews into a campus in New York City? No, they don't ask because they don't want to know. And now we're reaping again the whirlwind of that. And by the way, Senator Schumer, who is the highest-ranking elected Jewish American official in the United States, should be ashamed of himself. He has done nothing about this in a state where New York City is. He's let it go on right underneath his nose, and even now he saves his anger and his outrage to attack Donald Trump for trying to do something about trying to make Jews on these campuses safe.
Where do you think this stems from, the anti-Semitism? I mean, if black students were being targeted on these campuses, you know this would be over within 24 hours. And anybody, and rightly so, who attacked a black student would be thrown off that campus immediately. They wouldn't have to have discussions. They wouldn't have to have, I mean, this report comes out months after these protests occurred, and the protests are still occurring, by the way. So they have discussions about it. There would be no discussion if it was anybody else. Why is it that Jewish people still face this kind of persecution right here in America?
You know, Fred, theologically, we could talk about this a great deal, but I think one of the things here theologically is that when God made a covenant with the Jewish people in the desert and said, I will be your God and you will be my people, that Satan watched that meeting and said, well, we'll see about that. And the Jewish people throughout history have been a vocal point of the great battle between good and evil that is taking place in the world. It is amazing how often Jews are central to what's going on in history, and the persecution of Jews in a nation is almost always the first sign that that nation is sinking in to dictatorship of the right or the left. So that, I think, is the theological explanation. Beyond that, there is a war going on against Western civilization. These anti-Israel, anti-Jewish demonstrators on the campuses and their professors are also anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-capitalism. They say it themselves. Their chants are not only against Jews, but they chant against Christians. And they beat up Christian students that protect or stand next to the Jewish students. So the battle here is even bigger than the one we see. It's literally a battle to take down the greatest civilization the world has ever seen, Judeo-Christian civilization that has brought more freedom, more opportunity to more people than any competitor civilization in the history of the world.
So what do you say to parents? I mean, we're heading into the month of May. Kids are graduating from high school across the country. What do you say to parents who think, you know, well, Harvard, I got to send my kid there. It's been accepted, elite school, et cetera, et cetera. Yale, Columbia, whatever the case may be. What do you say to parents? What responsibility do parents have with regards to where their kids are going to school?
Well, I guess I would say, you know, that if somebody knocked on your door and he had one of those Hamas bandanas around their head and was chanting death to the Jews, and then when you came to the door said, hey, can I have your kids for 4 years, I would hope you would say no. Well, that's what you're doing. You're saying yes when you send your kids to these schools where the evidence is now overwhelming that they've gone off the rails. So I would urge parents, don't spend a life of scrimping and saving to educate your children only to allow your children to be indoctrinated in everything you taught them to avoid.
All right, we're talking with Gary Bauer, president of American Values. Have to let you go in a few minutes, but I had to get your reaction. I know you've been waiting for this, but Kamala Harris is back. She's back. She's back today. She's giving her first big speech since losing to Donald Trump. She's going to be in her hometown of, I think, San Francisco. But I just in case, Gary, you forgot about just how much of an overwhelming speaker she is, I wanted to play you a little montage of some of those past just incredible speeches. Cut number 12.
You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go.
The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. Present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
See what can be unburdened by what has been.
Yeah, Gary, I just can hardly wait. Hardly wait to see what she has to say today. Is Gary still with us?
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead, Gary. Can you hear me? I guess he can't hear me. All right. Well, we've been talking with Gary Bauer, of President of American Values. And he by the way, I hope we can get him back. But nope, He disappeared from us. All right, been good to talk to him. I love talking with Gary because he is so much in tune. You know, Gary goes back actually to the Reagan years when he was Undersecretary of Education during the Reagan years, and he tells some interesting stories even at that time of the kinds of things that he experienced, but. Always valuable. By the way, yes, Kamala Harris is speaking today. I think it's 7 o'clock Pacific time this evening in San Francisco. Apparently, the focus of her speech is going to be Donald Trump. What else is new? You know, it's very interesting to watch what's going on inside the Democratic Party right now. When you see the fighting, the blame game going on, of course, you have the AOC, and I know Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat officially, but he thinks that's his worldview. You have AOC and Bernie Sanders going out there. I don't know if you've seen some of the commercials with AOC right now. She's also almost making presidential-type videos out there. I think she was in Idaho over the last couple of weeks, and so she's ramping this up. You know, it was interesting. I think it was Fox News that tried to chase her down the other day in Washington to ask about this. Is she interested in becoming president? She really didn't deny it. So I think she does have on her mind the idea that she could be president someday. It's interesting. I heard an interview with James Carville yesterday. You know, I think most of you know who James Carville is. He's the mouthpiece from Louisiana. He is a Democrat from the Clinton years. He is disgusted by the radicalism within his own party. He's telling them to stop, for instance, stop this whole protection, this fighting for the right of men to continue to play in women's sports. Carville's right. He's just smart about this. This is one of those issues that caused the Democrats to be defeated last fall and to put Donald Trump back in the White House. But I think the radical element, the AOC, Bernie Sanders element, squad, et cetera, that group of Democrats, it is their intention. It is their intention to take over the Democratic Party. And this is what's going to be interesting. You know, we're 18 months or so from the midterm elections. So the question then becomes, where is the Democratic Party going to be in about 18 months? Are they going to be the party of the radical left, AOC and Bernie Sanders and the squad, or are Schumer and Chris Coons and Elizabeth Warren and that group, are they going to be able to regain control of that party? Now, if you're a Republican, you're cheering on AOC. You're cheering on the squad because the belief is that the American people certainly are not ready for that. But you're seeing I was going to use the term soul searching, but that's not right either. They believe that the future of the Democratic Party is with the radical left. They believe that the mainstream media will support them. They believe certainly that young voters will support them. But even that remains to be seen because we've seen in recent polls a tremendous change even amongst young people who are starting to look at things. And perhaps because you get older, you start thinking about, for instance, financial concerns of the country. And you start thinking, which party is going to be best for me? Hey, listen, we got to run. More great programming ahead here on American Family Radio. My thanks to Devin and to Adam and others who have helped today put all this program together. And it's good to have you with us today. Go out there and be a blessing to someone today, folks. We'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.